What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 30 of the Mad Happy Podcast. I'm Payman.
And I'm Mason.
And today we wanted to take our official last episode of the year to look back on the year, on the podcast, talk about a couple of things, bring in Phineas to ask us some questions about all the episodes we did this year and what we're looking forward to next year. I don't know, Mason, what do you think?
Oh, man. It's definitely been a long Q4 for us. I think we opened New York, as you guys know, and then LA, and then we just opened Aspen last Friday. So Payman and I were out there for about a week just getting that store up and running. If you guys haven't seen it on the Mad Happy Instagram or either of mine and Payman's Instagrams, I definitely recommend going to check that out, because it's a really, really beautiful store that we're super proud of. And now we're both back in the office for a few days. You know, most of the team has already kind of left to take their holiday breaks, and I think we're just sitting here both pretty exhausted. It's been a really crazy time, but I think feeling super grateful, super excited for this upcoming little break. I know that I need a recharge, and I know that you definitely do too, and I think probably a lot of the listeners do too. So I think we can talk a little bit about what we're looking forward to kind of closing out this year and heading into next year.
Yeah, I think it's Tuesday, December 21st for everyone that's now listening to this at like 5:40 p.m. So we're getting close, I think, to just the end of the year. And like you said, I'm also pretty tired. I feel like really happy with the year overall, and feel like it was a lot of growth for myself personally and professionally for our company. But yeah, just tired, I think, ready for a little break and then to head into next year strong and see what we can do.
Should we get into some of our questions for each other?
Yeah, let me start. I guess for you, what is one, one of your highs of the year personally and one of your downs of the year personally?
I think my biggest high, the first thing that came to mind, was when I got to go to Africa this last summer. I've been a huge animal lover my whole life, and obviously it was a very busy first half of the year for us, and I had never been to that part of the world before, and I think it really, really changed the way that I have kind of been approaching my life since the summer for the rest of the year. I think one of the biggest things that I learned there was so inspired by the people there and their happiness and their fulfillment and their feeling of purpose. And I kind of came to this realization that they're kind of grounded in a lot of the same things as we are in terms of work and family and love and these sort of things. And the only real difference was that they just had a lot less stuff. And I kind of thought about my own life and seeming like I'm trying to accumulate all this stuff that I don't really need and just material items that kind of make me feel good. And it didn't really exist out there, and it made me feel a lot more connected and a lot more focused on when I got back to just really only getting things that I need, and like really feel like I was getting back to the essentials and the basics of my life and kind of just a newfound perspective on life that I really value.
And what about your down?
My down? Yeah, I still am having a really hard time with like the imposter syndrome stuff. I know that I've spoke about this on the show a little bit before, but I just have such a hard time really feeling proud of myself and feeling capable. I know I talked about it in my episode how like I never really thrived in the classroom. So like I have a really underlying belief of myself feeling dumb or stupid because I didn't graduate college, or I was always in the low level class. And when I think about kind of my biggest struggles of this year is just me carrying that baggage with me and still listening to that teenage or early 20s voice in my head. So literally like an exercise that my therapist just gave me last week is every traffic light that I cross or every door frame that I walk under to tell myself that I'm smart enough and that I do enough. So that's probably one of my biggest challenges right now that I'm working on.
What about with, of course we've struggled with addiction. Like, how do you think that was for you this year in dealing with it and continuing to live with it?
I think it's kind of ebbed and flowed. I feel like whenever I was at my worst point in my life, that's when I was the most motivated and I'm going to go to a meeting every day and I'm so committed to change and all these things. And then I kind of got back on the right track a little bit, and then things are starting to go well. So I kind of convinced myself, oh, I maybe I only need it once a week now, or I'm feeling pretty good. I think that I could wait another week, or things like that. And I think the biggest thing that I realize is that I always need the program and the support system in my life in some way. And that if I really don't make it a part of my routine and a part of really my daily life, whether it's reaching out to a sober buddy or someone in my support system every day or going to a meeting or journaling, but like really having to make this work an active part of my life. I think I really got in the habit for at least half of this year of just like having my hour long therapy session and kind of checking that box and then making it feel like I was taking care of my mental health. And I think I really learned that like that's not enough. That's not like a one-stop shop for everything, and I really have to continue to build support in other areas of my life, and like just going to therapy for me with everything else that I struggle with just like isn't enough, you know?
Yeah.
What about you for this last year?
Well, I think on the professional side, my answer is not as profound as your Africa example, but I think for me, we sat on the floor at the Laker game, so that was a definitely one of the highlight memories for me. I think being a fan for so long and then, you know, getting those tickets like an hour before the game from our friend Brad, I think was pretty cool and an amazing experience. And then I think other things in my life, I think starting therapy was just like a big step for me this year. And I feel proud of myself for that. I think another thing has been doing things again, you know, for the first time. So like getting back into retail, even though it's super hard and stuff, and doing this podcast for the first time, feeling like a beginner in some ways. And of course, like our show is still like quite small relative to a lot of the bigger podcasts out there. So it's like another challenge for us to like keep growing it and keep, you know, getting new listeners and making a bigger impact with the show. So I think that's been awesome. And I think the in-person component coming back has been helpful because, you know, even just this last Aspen pop-up, someone came up to me that listens to the show and that, you know, has struggled with her own journey. And even though that hasn't happened that many times yet, I think each one is just like very special and meaningful and like just shows that there's people listening. So definitely shout out to all the listeners. And I don't know, lows for me, I think overall just like continuing to get better at like handling just like when I'm not feeling as good, and being less hard on myself. I think I have a tendency to just like, I'm a very like self-improvement minded person, and something actually that my therapist recently told me was just, you know, you can tell yourself that you're perfect and that you could use a little improvement instead of always like thinking on the improvement side. And not that self-improvement's bad, but if you're conditioning yourself to like always think that you have to be better, then you're also sending a message to yourself that you're not good as you are. And so I think doing more of that next year is something I'm definitely going to try to do.
What would you say to anyone who's listening who either has just started therapy and they're not really feeling it, or kind of feels like that's kind of a goal or a resolution for themselves that they have in the new year? I mean, being a year in, I'm sure it's kind of ebbed and flowed, but could you talk a little bit about more like your experience with it?
Yeah, I think I got lucky in some ways that I found a good match for me, like with the first therapist I tried, which I've heard obviously is a lot more challenging, generally speaking. So I think like one is like maybe the first person won't be a good match for you, but I think even just trying and putting yourself out there. And I think for me, like I never just wanted to like force myself to work with anyone that didn't feel right. And I'd say it's just something that you have to stick to and have a time that you do, whether it's every week or every other week, and just commit to. I think it's something that you have to want to do. You can't just like sit there and, like you said, just like get through the hour. And I think after a year, it's helped me a lot. So, you know, hopefully other people will have the same experience.
It's definitely hard for people starting out because anyone who's struggling, you really just want to get better really fast. And I think the same way with antidepressants or therapy, it's something that you really have to invest in. You know, I think we always talk about the tie-in with mental and physical health. You don't go to the gym and get a six-pack in 1 week, right? So it's kind of the same thing with your mental health. If you don't just go and have one therapy session and then everything is fixed, I think you really do have to put the work in. And I think you're such a great example of that, of never doing it before and committing to it and say, I'm going to do this every single week and I'm going to see what happens. And it's been almost a year now for you. And even watching from the sidelines, I think that it's made you such a better person. I think it's helped our friendship. I think it's helped you as a leader in this company. And I'm super proud of you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I also just met my therapist in person this past week for the first time because he's based in Boulder. So I went there right before I came to Aspen. So that was an interesting experience after like talking to someone every week for a year on Zoom, but definitely like was a good way to end the first year.
Did you find any like benefits or any like differences in your session having it in person?
Yeah, I think it was different because I wasn't used to it. And it was more of like a pseudo session because we were just reflecting on the year versus like actually talking about that much stuff and kind of looking forward to next year. But
I had kind of a year in reflection session last week too. When I was in Aspen, and I hadn't been feeling that good lately. So we were just going back and I started working with this woman, probably earlier in the year too, around like February or something like that. And we were going through like the intake questions that she asked me when we first started, just like, what did you want to work on, or what's bringing you here, or kind of like, what do you want your focus to be? And she had me answer the questions then last week, and then we compared them to my answers like 11 months ago, 12 months ago, and they were pretty similar, which was kind of like disappointing for me at first. And kind of like what I was just saying before, I kind of realized that I wasn't doing enough, and that I feel like that's kind of why I struggle a lot with the imposter stuff, is like I come on here and kind of in my everyday life, I'm helping people and giving advice and like working for this great company that has this strong mission. And like, sometimes I don't feel like I'm living it personally. And, you know, it's obviously always easier to give advice than take advice. But I think it was a nice kind of wake up call for me, just when you look back and realize how quickly a year can go by, and to kind of be in somewhat of the same place, regardless of everything that's happening, like externally or with our company or in my friendships and relationships, but to not feel personally right, I kind of realized that like nothing else matters if I'm not kind of moving forward in that area.
For you, as you think about next year, is there a goal that you have in mind, whether personally or professionally, that you want to, you know, you want to take with you into the new year?
I think I want to just have like a baseline value for myself of just feeling capable and competent. You know, some days I'm busier than others. I think we all are. And in those moments where I'm super busy and I'm just working all day and there's no time to break in between, I feel like that's when I feel really good about myself and I'm productive and I'm efficient and I feel valuable. And then in those other moments, maybe where I'm just staring at my computer and thinking, I don't know what to do right now, or I have nothing to do, when realistically I do, and then equating that to like my value and how I feel about myself. So I just want to kind of establish like a baseline level of just like love and like enoughness, even though that's probably not even a word. I just made it one, like love and enoughness for myself. And I think that's only going to translate into me being better in my role at this company and as a leader and kind of managing people and everything that we do. So that's kind of what I'm focused on more personally.
Mm, I like that.
What about you?
I think for me, running a startup, I think it's very consuming in terms of like how you identify with yourself. A lot of it, you know, the ups of the company and the downs of the company just like make you feel good or make you feel bad. And so I think trying to detach that a little bit more is something I want to do next year. I also think I take a lot on, and so figuring out what things continue to, you know, need my support and need my oversight versus what stuff I can delegate away, I think is important for next year. And really thinking about it from like an energy perspective of like how much I'm able to give on any one given day, week, month, whatever it is. And then, yeah, I mean, I think there's just always room to improve, like the work that we're doing here, like internally. I think we learned a lot about building a company and trying to hire people and some of the challenges there of just like a lot of growth and a lot of new people in a short amount of time. And it's all of our first companies. And I think I've definitely struggled with like understanding and being able to, you know, do everything right. And I'm not trying to be super hard on myself about it, but I think just continuing to improve, that's a big goal of mine, and just being honest about where we're at and where we hope to be and just work towards it every day.
Yeah, I think I know that we've spoken about this before, but a big theme of mine for this year was like letting go, and maybe we weren't ready for it as much as I kind of wanted us to be. But I think that's definitely another goal that I have next year, is I feel like if we're really going to take Mad Happy to where we want to take it, we are going to have to kind of step out of the trees a little bit and really be able to look at the forest. And I think that comes with like empowering the people that we bring on and really trusting people, kind of like you were saying. And I think it's a weird kind of paradox as a founder of like doing more and less at the same time, which can be super hard. And obviously like this thing is our baby, so like we've been involved in every single decision together, whether creatively or on the business end, and it can feel so personal at times. And I think it's a real skill, and it's something that's honestly vital in like a leadership position, that like if you want to take it to the next level, you're really going to have to let go in some areas and really empower and kind of put the faith and the onus in the people that you build your team with. You know, that's why the people is like the most important part.
For sure. 100%. Last question before we do a different type of segment, but what about goals for the podcast for you?
That's a good question. I think I definitely want to be recording in person more. You know, we've only done that a couple times, and I feel like those have been some of the strongest episodes. Definitely want to get like video going. I know that we hear that from a lot of you guys of wanting to be able to watch the show as well as listen to it. And then I think just like building a stronger relationship with our listeners, and whether that's more kind of candid conversations like this, getting to know us better, having more mailbag episodes to be able to hear some of your guys' questions. I mean, even to have some people from our community on, you know, I think that we really use the first 30 episodes and kind of our first year of the show to invite on friends of the brand and to really have the conversation and the reach be as big as possible. And now that we've kind of established this base, I think it could be really cool to start to hear from some people who maybe aren't famous or don't have millions of followers, but still have just as impactful stories. And like we always say, we have so much more in common than we think. So I think that some of those episodes and conversations could really be just as valuable and just as inspiring.
For sure.
Yeah. What about you? Anything else?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've learned a lot. I think having our new studio spot in our office will sort of change the dynamic of the show, and we'll totally be able to have people there and just a different vibe. And then, like you said, just understanding more about what it is that like you guys want to listen to and what the audience really wants, whether from us or from the guests or the types of things we're talking about, because I think there's still a lot of topics that we haven't delved into at all, and continuing to just like, you know, be at the forefront of like what's going on in mental health, and hopefully be able to keep everyone informed and in the know.
Totally. All right, we're going to bring in our producer, Phineas. Phineas has been working with us on the show since before we even launched. None of it would be possible without him. We asked him to come up with some ideas for this episode. He didn't even tell us anything, so we don't know what's going to happen, but talk to us, Finn.
Thank you, gentlemen. I wanted to start by saying I really enjoyed the journey. It has been, this is such a fun show to work on, because every episode is a vulnerable moment. It's another level of you guys opening up or pushing your guests to open up. So it's been a really fun journey. I thought it'd be fun to go back and do a quick rapid fire retrospective on the season thus far. This is episode 30, which there's a whole bunch of data to suggest that most podcasts don't make it past episode 15 or 20. And so this is episode 30. I think this locks it in as a real show, a real thing. I think it adds value to people's lives, and so it should be celebrated. So I wanted to go back and do a like quick word association retrospective on each episode. So I will name the guest, and then you guys give your quick memory or word association or mental health learning for those episodes, and we'll crank through them. It'll be pretty quick, but how's that sound?
All right, let's do it.
All right, good. All right, we're going to start episode one, logic.
I think the only thing I have on that was it was also the first episode we recorded. So just, you know, everything that could go wrong did, the tech issues that we had before we started recording, not really understanding how to host a show in any way, and then having such a powerful guest and storyteller on, I think we definitely threw ourselves into the deep end, but still one of my favorite conversations that we had.
Yeah, so we always record and sit at this desk and we sit at these chairs, but for Logic, I wanted us to like sit on these more comfier like sofa chairs that were behind us, because I thought that was what podcasters do and that it would look cooler. And it was so hard to talk into the mics and to see our notes and all those things. So since then, that was the one and only time that we recorded on the couch, and now we sit at the desk.
My quick memory of Logic was, it was as though he was freestyle rapping. Like, his answers were so rhythmic and just syncopated, and you could just tell it's, each guest brings something different, and what he really brings, I mean, he brings so much, but the musicality of his responses, I thought was fascinating. Episode 2, Emma Chamberlain.
I didn't know that much about Emma before we recorded, and I obviously had all my preconceived notions of YouTubers and Instagram influencers and all these things, and she just hops on like no makeup, but like with a hoodie on and her glasses in her bed, and was just like so dope. And I was shocked that she was in her early 20s, and was just really, really impressed by her and the machine that's behind her, and not only just the volume of content that she's able to create, but also her vulnerability and kind of purpose behind everything that she does. I remember just like listening, Payman made me listen to like 30 minutes of her podcast before we went, and it was just really real and like didn't feel artificial or fake or any of these things that I was kind of considered to be synonymous with those types of people.
I think one memory I have is it was a Sunday and I put out a fire in a sauna before we started recording the episode. So that was crazy and a first for me.
That's right.
But I thought the Emma convo was amazing. I listened to like 10 of her episodes before we recorded, and it's just crazy that she can record those, you know, 50 to hour long episodes, just kind of stream of consciousness, really hitting on topics that felt very relatable even to me. So I think it's amazing. She was super dope and love her.
Episode 3, Eric Nam.
Oh, I think I loved, Eric was great. That was the first time we met him, and then we've hung out with him since at the office. But I think we shared an experience around like being immigrants and like not feeling like we belong in the place we're living. So I think that was just like super relatable, and he was great.
Yeah, I think big in the podcast space and everything that him and his team is building, I think is like super inspiring, and wanting to create real conversations with different musicians, both in the K-pop space and out of it, of just really telling stories, and just a super genuine dude who's really trying to do some impactful stuff.
Episode 4, Dixie D'Amelio.
Yeah, this was, I guess, the first guest that we were friends before she came on the show, and was happy that she was down to come on. I think surprised me a lot about what she was willing to share, and this was actually before their show came out with Hulu a couple months ago, where it's really like the main topic is mental health. And I thought Dixie was just like super open and honest about like the struggle she went through and trying to tell her dad about it, and her dad just at first not being able to relate, and then eventually just, you know, coming around and learning and supporting her, and just how it's continued to evolve now in the limelight.
Yeah, I think just knowing the platform and voice that she has, I'm just grateful that she's such a big mental health advocate.
Yeah, she was incredibly open, and just, I think, is somebody that I think a lot of people can really look up to. All right, we're gonna crank up the speed here. We gotta become more rapid.
All right.
Okay, let's do it.
Episode 5, Gata.
Gata was amazing. He's the only person to ever cry on our show, so if you haven't listened to that, insanely moving, had me absolutely speechless.
Alexis Ren, episode 6.
Phineas, what do you think?
Alexis Ren, I thought Alexis was... I was just really impressed by how ambitious she was about her goals around connecting with her community of young women. She spent so much of the episode hammering home this point, and it just became really clear that she was authentically passionate about this thing. I think with a lot of public figures, you know, they'll have their initiative, and it might not always be fully authentic. I think for her, I was really impressed and stunned by what she's building with her community, and she really focused on, like, the individual interaction with individual young women. And that was just really moving to me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I got Alexis all to myself. That's fantastic. Okay, episode 7, Teenager Therapy. Talk to me.
Oh, I thought it was great to have them on. They have such a big podcast in the space, and I had been listening for a while, and having them come on, we had a lot of technical difficulties, but I think a lot of hope for the future generation of just like how young they are and how they're able to talk about this stuff at a way deeper level than we can. I think it was awesome.
Yeah, I think anyone who listens to our show would love their show. If you guys haven't checked it out, I think they are super inspiring and just show that anyone can talk about anything and people can relate to it.
Okay, next is a Mount Rushmore episode for me of the first 30. Episode 8, Rami.
Everyone knows Rami was my favorite episode. Not only was I just a huge fan of the show, but I feel like nobody cared as much about learning just as much about Payman and I as we were trying to learn about them, and it was kind of the first one for me that we recorded where it just felt like a conversation, just like chopping it up. And I feel like that's really the goal of every podcast episode.
Yeah, shout out to our friend Kai who brought Rami on. And I think also not only was it an amazing convo, but we also went to a show here in LA and it was just amazing to see him in action.
Absolutely laughed our asses off.
Yeah.
No shit. You guys went after the conversation?
Yeah, we did, like a couple weeks after, and it was amazing.
Episode 9, Kyle.
So I didn't know a lot about Kyle before he came on, but I also thought it was a great conversation. I think he thinks about mental health and really like how to try to live an optimistic life and like exude positivity so that it infuses other people in a very similar way like we do as a brand, I think. And he's trying to think about how being Black and how Black people are normally portrayed like in the media, whether as like he was talking about like being like villains in like movies and like all that type of stuff versus like how he's trying to show up in the content he's shooting and in the shows that he's getting involved in. So I thought that was a new perspective that we hadn't heard before.
Yeah, that dude's a local optimist for sure.
Absolutely. Episode 10 is you two together, so we'll skip it. Episode 11, Tinks, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, but at the time we didn't know her. Have gotten to know her a little bit since then, and we love Tinks. I think she was great. I think very, very relatable to her audience and to the people she's talking to. Such an authentic community that follows her, and I think her advice feels so spot on for the people she's giving it to. And I loved her. We definitely got to have her back.
Yeah, I love Tinks too. I think that she, some of the stuff that she said in that episode that we did with her just about comparison and things like that, being the thief of joy, have really stuck with me. And I feel like she's the only real like adult creator that I know. I just love what she's doing. I mean, and it's crazy that she was just at like an Ivy League school, I think, and then just decided to become an influencer and a content creator full time, like pretty quickly, and has grown rapidly.
Okay, episode 12, I won't make you guys reflect on because it was the Mason episode, although you could. I mean, maybe give me a quick hit on the Mason episode.
I think one thing I have for that is people always reference that one as one of their favorites. So shout out to Mason.
What I remember about that episode is that Payman still hasn't done his.
I know. You guys schedule it. It's not my job to schedule that one.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Episode 14, Stefanos.
Tennis is my favorite sport to play, and I've been watching Tsitsipas really since he really came on to the tour a few years ago and had a big upset. I think he's the first athlete that we had on the show and was just so incredible to have that perspective and really someone who I was personally a fan of for years and who's about to be the face of the sport. So to have him be so open about mental health and be such an ally is just amazing for the game of tennis.
Yeah, I think just the organic nature of him reaching out to the brand and seeing how he could get more involved on the mental health side of things was awesome. And then actually getting to meet him after that interview when he came to the office and talking about life and what he's thinking about for his future was amazing.
He's pretty funny too.
He's very funny.
He was really funny, like, in the same way that, like, Giannis is, like, funny, of just so naive and just, like, witty and discovering things in America for the first time and just so happy, was just, like, exuding happiness, which is magnetic.
Episode 15, Emily Ann Holt.
Yeah, that was the first mental health professional that we had on the show, which I think was really great to just have a different kind of voice and get to ask some questions about therapy and really dive deeper into some more serious mental health topics. I know that that's something that you guys really care about. So we definitely want to be able to have professionals and therapists on the show more often.
Episode 16, Aaron and Sarah Foster.
First duo that we had on the show and first pair of sisters. I thought they were great. I had been listening to their podcast that my girlfriend Sarah showed me, and it's great, very relatable again, and a lot of the top topics touch mental health. So I think hearing their perspective about growing up with a famous dad in LA and how that made them feel and all of those interactions with their family was super interesting.
Episode 17, Nick Vial.
Nick was great. I thought he has a big fan base that like listens into his show, and the way that he's able to like do that live element to a show is super interesting, and I think very impactful because he's having very like one-on-one conversations with people and they're actually taking action on that, and I was inspired by that.
Talented guy in the space, knows how to relate to people, there's no doubt. Episode 18, Lauren Riamaki.
I think similar to Tinks, like she was a creator that we had on who was a bit older, not as young as like the Emmas and the Dixies. And I think the perspective that she was able to bring and like how she's leveraging her platform to tell different kind of stories and have different kind of conversations was super cool.
Episode 19, Casey Cott.
Casey was Payman's boy, who I didn't know, but was just like the nicest person I've ever met. And was like on set, I think he was like somewhere in Canada shooting something, but just talked to him for 10 minutes and felt like this was like my boy for like years. He was just like so earnest and genuine and was just an absolute sweetheart.
Yeah, I love Casey. Shout out to him for coming on.
Episode 20 was World Mental Health Day. Just you two talking about it. We'll skip to 21. Episode 21, Gary V.
Payman, take it away.
Well, this was the first episode. This was an episode I recorded in March of 2020 before the pandemic. So I think we decided to air it because it was like super on topic. I personally love Gary. I think he has a great message. If you kind of look through like the noise or like the small sound bites that people often reference, and it very much is a mental health message. So I would urge everyone to listen.
Episode 22, Noah Beck.
Noah, was this the first one that we did in person?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this was the first one that we did in person. Him and his team were gracious enough to invite them over to their house, and it was awesome. I think the first thing that comes to my mind is just how much better the conversation is able to be live in the flesh, looking each other in the eyes. I feel like that was one where our journal prompt turned into a conversation for like 20, 30 minutes before we even had to ask another question. So that was a great one.
Yeah, and who knew Noah Beck was like a serious soccer player? Episode 23, Ashley Tisdale.
I told Ashley, but my family was obsessed with High School Musical growing up. I have four siblings. We would sing it all the time and dress up as the different characters, Troy and Sharpay. And, it was just cool to talk to her. I mean, there's obviously such a kind of cliche around the Disney Channel star and how their mental health gets impacted so negatively and how they spiral out and struggle. And just to be able to talk to her, who's now built such an amazing life and family and professional life. It was super cool.
Episode 24, Victoria Garrick.
Love Victoria. I think she was the second athlete. Well, third, because Noah counts. But she was great. I mean, I think she's talked a lot about body image and her relationship with food and being a student athlete and the effects that that has on your mental health. So it was amazing to have her on, and I think we're going on her show soon, so excited about that.
I think that we had some conversations with her where we discussed some topics for the first time on the show that I know are super important to our base at the Local Optimist, and I'm sure a lot of what you guys care about too. So definitely want to be able to have more of those conversations because it's a big issue right now.
Episode 25, Rob Dyrdek.
Rob was interesting for me. I mean, obviously grew up with him watching all of his shows, Robin Big, Ridiculousness, seeing him all over the place. And I think you should listen to the episode, because I think me and him kind of come at mental health from two really different angles. I think he's much more in the head, I'm much more in the heart, and just to be able to be challenged a little bit was super refreshing and super insightful for me.
Skipping episode 26, Thanksgiving mailbag, episode 27. Last two, gentlemen, last two. Bree LaPaglia.
I love Bree. I think she was so different than her content that we had been seeing. So I think it was interesting to, within the first question, it was like such like a deep mental health message already, and being able to talk about that, her past and how it's still affecting her today and how she's trying to think about that more. Both in therapy and just in her relationships, was amazing. And someone who, of course, has such a big audience. So, like, the more she continues to lean into that and talk about it, like, the bigger the impact will be.
Episode 28, Mike Posner.
I think this one was interesting because I listened to it, because I don't usually listen when I'm in the episode. So what I thought was amazing was just Mike was so happy to be there, so engaged in the conversation, very present, and it's clear that like he's come a long way from the story he talks about of like not being able to function on the plane around like the people he's wanted to be around his whole life, to walking across America and then, you know, to where he is today.
That's it, guys. That's all the episodes. Yeah, go ahead and walk us out.
Thank you, Phineas. We appreciate that. Thank you for all the help this year. Hope everyone has great holidays. Stay safe. We'll be back in the new year, and we're excited for what's to come.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. I mean, we wouldn't have made it to episode 30 without the listeners. And again, it means the world to us, not only that you listen to the show, but that you are prioritizing your own mental health and that it's something you care about. And whether you realize it or not, by following our brand and listening to the show and taking your own mental health more seriously and just kind of cultivating that energy and having those conversations with your friends and your family and your community, you are changing the world. So we're doing this thing together, and this is just the beginning. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.